When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Iowa still winless in the Big Ten. Fran McCaffrey tossed out of the game last night at College Park, Maryland. National championship coming up tonight. The NFL playoffs. The Bears have a new coach. All that and more coming up on the Gym Class. KGYM. And at 4 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, we welcome you in to the brand new week of the Gym Class on this January the 8th. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We're down a man today, Kyle Mann. He is under the weather today. Hopefully he'll be back with us coming up on the Tuesday edition of the program. Coming up, Iowa basketball falls to 0-5 in the Big Ten Conference. National championship game coming up tonight. The NFL playoffs. I'm still not ready to talk about it yet, Mark. And golf getting underway. Busy sports weekend. You can comment on it. 319-366-1600 on the Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hurtin & Stocker Jewelers. They are on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. And with Kyle out today, we appreciate it. If you probably better... More apropos if you sent texts today, since we can't do two things at once. But first of all, big thank you to everybody that attended the our sister station, Z102.9 Bridal Show yesterday. We had another outstanding day in downtown Cedar Rapids, and it was great to see everybody out there. A lot of brides-to-be, and just a lot of wedding planning going on yesterday. So a big thank you to everybody that stopped by at the Doubletree yesterday. We missed you, Mark, but maybe next year.
Well, I missed you, too. It was wildly successful, as it usually is. And tip of the hat to everybody behind the scenes and organizing that, and for the patrons who did make it there. Isn't everybody's mood a little bit lighter today? How the weather affects everybody. That's been my experience. Getting out and about, I had a meeting this morning and stopping at the gas station. And yeah, just everybody's mood has picked up a little bit despite it being Monday. Not everybody's mood.
Not maybe, everybody's. I'm still lamenting. Can I lament for a while?
Yes, sir.
Not about my, no, not right now. I mean, can't I lament over, you know, just yet another epic failure on behalf of my Kansas City Chiefs. This one even more epic, I think, than usual. But I believe they haven't named this game yet. They usually come up with a name for each one of these Chief debacles. 6 in a row, all by 4 points or less at home, and 11 out of the last 12 if you're playing the home game. But Chiefs doing Chiefs things. So the Tennessee Titans move on. But anyway, it was an interesting NFL weekend. With the two road teams winning on Saturday and the Carolina New Orleans game. Pretty decent game yesterday.
Well, if you needed a nap, you could have watched Jacksonville and Buffalo.
Well, I couldn't see that one because of the bridal show. Yeah. So, yeah, I missed that one, but I didn't miss too much. Which leads us, before we get into too much talk here, let's just give the results of the Carl and Ernie's Pick
sure.
6. It is brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub. In downtown, or excuse me, on Highway 1 West in Iowa City.
There's a Kyle Mann, or I'm sorry, an Alex Kuhn domination. Pretty mediocre week for the panel, except for Alex. He went 5-1. He'd took Jacksonville. That was his only loss, -9. And excellent week for Alex, obviously. Sean, Scott, and Kyle all went 3-3. Todd and I, 2-4. Net result, the gym class's lead in the team race has gone from 5 to 3. Net gain for the Todd Bromelkamp show with Alex Kuhn this week. So we'll have another edition this Friday.
Yeah, we'll take a look at the divisional games coming up. Well, where the heck do you start? I suppose last night, College Park, Maryland. If you like offense, well, you if you watch Iowa basketball and follow it, you better like offense because the defense ain't there yet again. Iowa falls to Maryland last night out at College Park, 91-73. And what everyone is talking about today is another ejection. Although Fran has not been ejected in a while. Did get 2 technicals, bang, bang, last night. Ejected with about 45 seconds remaining in the first half last night. To me, it looked like, and you talked about it with Todd and myself in the sports office before we got on the air today, Mark, but it just looked like it was a situation where you're not going to get every call in the game, and people should realize that, fans should realize that. But I think Fran finally got to the international boil over line after the no call on the elbow to Cordell Pemsel and then Jordan Bohannon getting jostled around a little bit. Did walk. I think everybody would agree on that. That was the one they called. They didn't call the fact that he was getting jostled around. Not only at that time, but there was a no call, or there was a call on Jordan earlier in the game when they called him for a reach-in foul. Clearly showed on replay he didn't touch anything except air. And I think Fran just got to the enough line, and the fireworks ensued.
When you're 0-5, the frustrations boil over, and perhaps Fran McCaffrey wanted that first technical, but I'm not sure what he did to earn the second, but nevertheless was tossed out of the game. And I said last night, I think Fran is a guy for this program. I think he's a very good coach, but it's growing more and more, I don't know, worrisome that this guy continually screams and yells. And, you know, you see it. I'm sure it happens in practice. You see it on the sidelines if you sit anywhere near the court. And, you know, there's a risk of losing a player or two because not everybody responds to that.
Absolutely.
Think about your own career. I once worked for a guy who had a terrible temper. One time slammed his hand on the desk and broke his wristwatch and just was a powder keg from time to time. And frankly, I didn't respond to it very well. And I think kids, some respond to it, some don't.
Some just tune you out if you're constantly yelling. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that from the Iowa basketball team.
I don't pretend to know every attitude that Fran brings to practice or behind the scenes. All I know is what I see. And like I said, it just has become more and more worrisome to me.
Do you think I don't think he warranted 2 technicals. I think it was a miscommunication on the official's part that one official that was closest called a technical and then one from a longer distance called the second technical at about the same time. And obviously they're not going to take one away. So that was bang, bang, and you're
people's
gone.
Reputation precedes them too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Other coaches get a little bit more leeway than Fran McCaffrey does at this point. And I think it just kind of bubbled over. I think you're seeing it bubble over with Jordan Bohannon as well. Jordan, and to add insult to injury, of course, the Iowa plane last night couldn't leave because they were lightly tapped on the tarmac by another plane. Jordan Bohannon had a great tweet.
Any foul called there?
That's why I'm going to bring it up here because it was terrific. And Jordan's a good tweeter, by the way. He's a very good tweeter out there. Can't fly tonight. Just found out that our plane got hit on the tarmac. No foul was called. Contemplating retirement. Thanks. NCAA. Following Jordan and his 3 brothers over the past several years, I can tell when something gets under their skin. And Maryland got under Jordan's skin last night. He was taking shots he usually wouldn't take. He was trying to drive a little bit more, trying to be a little bit more physical. And I think he's to the point now, he's just gotten, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to everybody in Iowa City. It's frustrating to anyone that follows Iowa basketball. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in on your thoughts about everything. It's not an excuse for what Fran's behavior or anything like that. It's just, I think anybody at that point would get to the international enough frustration line.
Well, I understand you might get to that point.
And that's the way he deals with it.
That and the officiating don't negate the fact Iowa lost the game by 18 points. Now, granted, it was a lot closer than that.
It was a closer game.
But in the end, talk about some of the defensive numbers that, you know, we talked about before the show that Iowa has allowed. You're not going to win any games like that.
Iowa, anytime an opponent gets over 75, you might as well put it, for the most part, in the loss column. You take a look at the Iowa losses in the Big Ten. Penn State and Indiana both had 77, and that's been on the low end of the scale. Then the loss in Ames to Iowa State with 84 given up. The loss to Michigan was 75, and then Ohio State 92, Maryland 91 last night. And it's hard to outscore teams because you're not going to shoot the ball well every night. And Iowa right now, that defense, they cannot stop dribble penetration. They can't stop the first, that first step. They're behind right from the get-go. And there's no Adam Woodbury. And again, all you Adam Woodbury haters out there, he was underneath the basket. And he was there to keep people out and to block shots. Whether you like his offense or not, he was there. And he was a big part of that Iowa basketball team for four years.
Very good communicator as well.
Absolutely. There is no Adam Woodbury there this year. So that's part of the problem. Luka Garza, he's a different type of player. More of a perimeter player than Adam Woodbury.
Mm-hmm.
And just doesn't have that defensive prowess as a freshman right now that Woodbury had at that point.
Yeah, it's really the ebbs and flows of this team, the inconsistencies. You know, Isaiah Moss was maybe not in the doghouse, but it was time for him to step up. He had not played well recently, especially on offense, and he went off for 25. Go figure. Tyler Cook has been terrific. He scored 7. Go figure.
Got into foul trouble again.
You know, it's just perplexing.
Now, that your thoughts, welcome, 319-366-1600.
6779, Richard, on the text line. Once Cook went out, Iowa's inside game evaporated.
True. Very, very much so. Very much so. Right now, Cordell Pemsel is also pressing a little bit. Just pressing at this point. I did not agree with the technical on Tyler Cook, unless he said something. Bruno Fernando is he is not a nice person. Sorry to the folks from Luanda. But, yeah, he was squawking the entire game. He squawked the entire Big Ten season. He squawked the entire season for Maryland. And for him to come, he wasn't even part of the play either. He just came over and stood over Tyler Cook and just told him what he wanted to wanted to say. I mean, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Did it a couple other times, not to that extent, but boy, just come on, man. You're better than that. You're a pretty good player out there. You're a pretty good player. So Iowa falls to 0-5. Iowa State, they fell over the weekend to Oklahoma State. Plenty of controversy there if you want to drag it up as far as officiating or non-officiating is concerned. UNI right now, they're in a tailspin in the Missouri Valley Conference. Thank goodness Drake is winning. And the Iowa women got a win yesterday. If it wasn't for that, hey, things would be really bitter besides the under-zero temperatures that we've had the last 10 days or so.
Yeah, it was really a bizarre end of regulation in that Iowa State-Oklahoma State game. And it benefited Iowa State to a certain extent. The game was tied, and Iowa State inbounding the basketball, and the clock didn't start for like 3 seconds. And then when Iowa State missed a shot, Oklahoma State rebounded. The clock was prematurely shut off. So I think the officials made the right call on that end because it, on the one hand, it benefited Iowa State. The other, you know, it just was a wash. Let's go to overtime, see what happens. And that was not kind to the Cyclones.
Iowa State had a 4-point lead in that overtime and could not make it stand. Mm-hmm. And now Iowa State heads to Allen Fieldhouse.
Good luck with that.
On Tuesday night to try to avoid 0-4 in the Big Ten Conference. Interestingly enough, Ben Jacobson meeting with the media earlier today in Cedar Falls, he's playing the optimistic card at this point. He feels that his team is going to have a turnaround, and it's not that far off. And they are 0-4 right now. But remember, that's a different type of animal in the Mo Valley. If you and I goes and runs the table the rest of the way, probably going to be first place in the Mo Valley. First seed. Might get them an at-large. Probably UNI's at-large is gone right now. The Mo Valley's at-large is probably gone right now. UNI needed to finish first or second probably to get that based on the non-conference schedule that they had.
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty much out the window after an 0-4 start. So get a good seed, win 3 or 4 games down at the Valley Tournament. That's what Ben Jacobson's got to get his Panthers to do.
A couple more texts coming in, 4233. Sometimes you can have loads of talent and just not have the right chemistry.
True.
Is that true with this Iowa team? The sum is lesser than its parts?
Oh, boy. There is talent on this team. There is no doubt about that. But and everyone seems to have their own judgment. We're going to talk to Mike Halas about this coming up here in just a little bit. And the one thing, though, two things that stick out. One, there are a lot of guys that play the same position on this team. And we've talked about that last mm-hmm. week. Number two, this team just deficient at defense. I think they have to play zone, and when you play zone, that opens up other things that
you can underscore that. Well. That's the main crux of the situation.
Absolutely. I mean, you cannot give up 80-plus points a game and expect to win in conference play, even in 2017-2018.
Ryan, the food delivery guy on the text line, we've been beating these kids up for a while now. I think we have to resign the fact that this year is a loss, but going on, how can we fix the defense? Everybody says Fran is not a defensive coach. 25-23, Iowa shoots the three too fast. And 67-45, don't forget my Drake women. Okay.
Yeah, Drake women are doing all right. They're doing fine out there in the Mo Valley.
I just don't see the Twitter feed lighting up over Drake women. You know, I'm sorry.
And it's not lighting up. You know, as good as the Iowa women are playing, it's not lighting up over them. Or maybe it will soon. Who knows? By the way, Megan Gustafson, Honk, if you've heard this before, is on the Big Ten Honor Roll again this week. Wasn't the player of the week despite a 34-12 yesterday against Illinois. But was on the Big Ten Honor Roll, which she has been on every week this year.
The woman is just uncanny. If you watch her for any length of time, and I watched quite a bit of the game yesterday against Illinois, I mean, teams are double and triple teaming her time after time after time, and she finds the way to leverage her defender, get an angle. Her teammates find her, get her the ball. And when she's within 5 feet of the basket, it's automatic. She's shooting 70% from the field on the year. Hasn't missed a free throw since, 2016? I don't know. Terrific free throw shooter. And has a knack for getting rebounds. So as she goes, Iowa women's basketball goes pretty clear.
Yeah, and just a terrific, terrific game and year that she is putting together in career. Basically, 3:23 here on the program. We've got a national championship coming up tonight And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting game. And I think it's going to be a very entertaining game tonight as well, as it's going to be Georgia and Alabama going at it. Yeah, I understand everyone's not an SEC fan, but you know what? If the two best teams or the two teams that come out of the fray are from the same conference, whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12, whatever the case may be, you know, you got to go with it. I think these are two terrific teams, and that's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com.
It is indeed the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Which team will win tonight's national championship game? It'll be Georgia or Alabama. And you can watch that game, I'm sure, at Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
And listen to it on your way.
Absolutely.
We'll have it tonight at 7 o'clock. They'll get it kicked off at about 7:10 tonight. 107.5, 106.3 FM will be your stations to start it off with. Cyclone Call-In Show will be on 1600 AM tonight shortly after 7 o'clock. And then all three of our frequencies at about 8:35, 8:40, right in there, will carry that one. Talent, I don't, you know what, just straight out, flat out, talent-wise, Alabama, more talent, probably should win. I'm not so sure Georgia's not the better all-around team. And I think Georgia's defense is going to play better against an SEC offense than it did against a spread Big 12 team like Oklahoma. And it took them a half to adjust to that. Then they played pretty darn well. I would not be shocked if there is an upset tonight.
It's really hard to bet against Nick Saban, but the Georgia tandem at running back is special. And if Georgia unleashes that running game against what was a really good Alabama defense, you know, then Fromm can pick apart a little bit here and there. But it's easier said than done against Alabama. And, how many times has it been there before? And but the other part of that is Kirby Smart is a Saban disciple.
Absolutely.
And knows how things operate at Alabama. And we'll see if that plays into things tonight.
He was in the inner circle. He was the inner circle at Alabama for 8 years. And he knows everything there is to know about Alabama football. And he hasn't forgotten too much about it, would be my guess. And that's what's going to make this game so intriguing, I think, coming up tonight. So go ahead and vote your preference, who you think's going to win tonight, KGYMradio.com. Matt, you dipped into that ultra-talented Kansas City coaching pool. Pick out your new Chicago Bears coach.
Yeah, Matt Nagy is the new Bears coach after a pretty short process that the Bears brass went through to find a head coach. And, you know, this is the same guy who couldn't get Kansas City in the end zone yesterday in the second half. I don't know how I feel about that, but he's apparently got what's been described as a cutting-edge offensive mind. We'll see. Can he bring Kareem Hunt with him? Probably not.
I think we'll keep him. Doesn't matter anyway. The Chiefs can go 16-0 next year, and they'll blow it in the first round of the playoff game. So, what's to say they can do it without Kareem Hunt?
You're not bitter.
No, not at all. Matt Nagy, now keep this in mind. I told you this as well, and Bears fans out there, he wasn't the complete coordinator in Kansas City. Big True. Red still had final veto power, and he had a play sheet there, and he was calling a lot of things in the second half. It's an okay hire, I think. Like I told you, Doug Peterson, the former offensive coordinator for Kansas City, who's now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, I think he made Matt Nagy's made his sledding a lot easier by all the success that he has had in Philadelphia. Coming from Kansas City. So I think Matt Nagy's going to be all right for you. I think he's going to be fine.
Well, we'll see. I mean, a lot of times these coaches get recycled. And guarantee you John Fox is going to land somewhere after getting let go by the Bears. I have to admit I know very little about this guy other than the fact that he spent some time in the World Football League or something like that, Arena Football League, and a little bit of time with various teams in the NFL. So, you know, the fact that Trubisky needs to be brought along here, Nagy's a quarterback's coach, as you said, offensive coordinator. So I don't know how it's going to play out. All I know is you need players.
You got to draft well.
You need
well,
players.
And you need a quarterback in the National Football League. I want to remind you the Hot Stove Winter Caravan for the Colonels is coming up on Wednesday, January 17th. That is a 22nd annual Hot Stove fundraiser, and tickets are now on sale to join baseball fans at the East Bank Venue and Lounge downtown. That's the old Smulikoff's building. Doors are going to open at 5:30. Tickets $45. Includes a delicious dinner, silent auction, and a panel talk with baseball folks, including former Colonels and current Twins, Mitch Garver and Zach Granite, plus Twins radio broadcaster Chris Atterbury. Toby Gardenhider is going to be there as well as others. Proceeds are going to benefit the Colonels Take the Lead Community Initiative and the Colonels Foundation. And go to our website at kgymradio.com if you would like more information on that. We're going to take a break at 3:28. Come back. Mike Halas will join us, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk some basketball, get his thoughts about the national championship game. And he took in the the most famous, 46 seconds in Iowa sports last week with Spencer Lee getting out onto the mat. We'll talk about that when we come back here on KGYM.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Simplify supper and warm up winter. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you can save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at happyjoescr.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club, too, for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to happyjoescr.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 2 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
If you work for yourself, don't think of that sound as a receipt being crumpled. Think of it as lost deductions, because every business receipt you lose is cash lost. $5, $3, $2. And if you misplace $10 of business receipts every workday for a year, that's $2,600 in lost deductions, unless you've already snapped them with QuickBooks.
Snap and sort your expenses for maximum deductions at tax time. Visit QuickBooks.com. Smarter business tools for the world's hardest workers. QuickBooks, backing you.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class on KGYM.
Going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a moment or two. A reminder, the Cycle Call-In Show comes your way tonight just past 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. 107.5, 106.3 FM. You will start off with the national championship game between the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Georgia Bulldogs. And 1600 will join up with that right after the Cyclone Call-In Show coming up this evening. And also over the weekend, lost a terrific actor. I thought he was a terrific actor. Native of Danville, Illinois. Not a lot of people probably knew that. Jerry Van Dyke passing away over the weekend. And, of course, probably most known as the man that played Luther Van Dam, the defensive coordinator of the Minnesota State Screamin' Eagles in the ABC sitcom Coach. A lovable character that did things his way. Not a very eccentric guy was Jerry Van Dyke. And I will miss him. I loved the show Coach. Not that it was just based off of Hayden Fry and the Iowa football program, which it was, but it was just a good show. It was just a funny show out there, and I will miss Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, I like the Van Dykes. I mean, they were funny guys. They really were. And I enjoyed Coach. See a rerun every now and then. And
they don't play him enough.
Probably not.
I loved that. Loved it. Loved that show out there. And it was one of my favorites growing up, certainly. And Jerry Van Dyke will be missed. I think 89 or something like that he was when he passed. And all right, so Dick Van Dyke's still alive, though, isn't he? I believe. I think is Dick still alive? Look that up while we bring on Michael Haas, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff online at thegazette.com. You can also follow him on Twitter at Halas. He is alive. Very good. Dick Van Dyke alive and doing well.
92.
How you doing, Mike?
Alive and not 92.
Well, we mentioned 92, but 91 was what Iowa gave up last night. Is the defense really...
That was 1 point better than the game before.
Yes, yeah. But still not good on either account, certainly.
No.
But... everyone's got their opinions on what's wrong with the Iowa basketball team. Everyone's got their opinion on Fran McCaffrey. And, hey, these things happen when you're 0-5 in league play.
That they do. And my email box didn't have a whole lot of, hang on, things are going to get better this morning.
Is Fran getting too technicals in his approach on the sidelines, is that worrisome at all?
I don't think so. First of all, I think that him getting two technicals was weird. I mean, he clearly, it looked like he was angling to get one of them. He was halfway out onto the court. He knows he's going to get teed up doing that, but it's like, okay, we've taken a beating from the officials in his mind and in many minds. And so he was going to get a technical and try and, you know, get a point across to everybody in the world, especially those three refs. But then it was bing and bing, you know, two technicals, two different officials gave him one, and I replayed it. I didn't see how that was a two-technical tirade, but he seemed to accept it fairly quickly and left without a whole lot of histrionics and didn't really... I'll get on a soapbox after the game either. Look, that was a sideshow, and you've said as much, Mark, and you're absolutely right, in my opinion. The story of the game, once again, is they don't defend, and they get beaten like a drum. And I know, I realize that was a competitive game for most of the game, and the score last night was deceiving. But what was not deceiving is that they gave up 56 points in the paint, which is atrocious, of course. They only had 22 themselves. And they committed 17 turnovers, which is pretty bad, especially when you only force 9. So you've got a lot of bad numbers that all add up to one thing. They can't guard.
Yeah, that's been the problem, underlying problem all year. And first time last night, I could really see it. It just looked like everybody was pressing a little bit and just trying to make that extra effort to try to just try to change something, because, you know, it's no fun being 0-5.
No, and, you know, they started that game very nicely. They shot 55% in the first half, and they were behind, which that, I mean, look, should be ahead at every game at halftime, which shoot 55%. But, you know, the deficiencies were greater than the offensive success. And what happens is you get that thing in your head like, well, we can't keep shooting like this all night long. And meanwhile, the opposing team, Maryland, was making two-thirds of its shots from inside the three-point circle. They took 17 threes, and nobody in the world could figure out why. Why are you shooting those shots? Keep doing what you're doing. And over the last three games in which Iowa's gotten beaten pretty convincingly defensively, the opponents are making like 62% of their shots inside the three-point circle, which, you know, that's fatal stuff. And last night, Stephen Bardo, doing the game on FS1, seems like Stephen Bardo works every Iowa game, but Bardo said this is like the old ABA. And I thought to myself, well, what an insult to Julius Erving. You know, George Gervin and all those great players, they at least played some defense.
Well, it's just become a tired yearn week after week, and I don't move on to something else that was pretty spectacular Friday night, and that was, and you've covered as much wrestling as anybody in this market, and you felt compelled to go see one Spencer Lee, right?
Yes. Yeah, that was my sole reason for going. And I suspect that it was the sole reason for a lot of the people. There were between 8,000 and 9,000 fans there, and it looked like just as big a crowd as the two crowds Iowa had for basketball last week, and it was a noisier crowd than either one. And they promoted it. I mean, Iowa did something unusual. They promoted this Spencer Lee making his college debut for the Hawkeyes. They said, the red shirt's gone. We freed Lee. He's wrestling Friday. They put his picture on the program. And there were no bones about it. It was like, okay, this is kind of a festival. So 125 opens the match, and here it is, you know, your headline act is going first. You better have been in the arena at the, you know, for the start of the event, or else you missed it, because 46 seconds over, done. And it was one of those strange things that was both satisfying as could be to the fans, and yet a little disappointing because they wanted to see the guy throw his opponent around a while. But the guy he beat, a true freshman himself, from Michigan State, was no slouch. He came in with an 18-3 record, and he's got fantastic junior credentials. Tom Brands said after the meet that they had looked at this kid, Rayvon Foley, as somebody they might entertain recruiting. But he would have never wrestled at Iowa, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you think that...
I don't know what the future is going to bring here, but it means more excitement. And Lee's not the only good young wrestler on the team by any stretch. I mean, they've got a sophomore named Kemmerer who's 13-0. They've got a redshirt freshman, Alex Marinelli, who was a four-time state champ in Ohio. He's won his first seven matches. Coming back from a torn meniscus. Both he and Lee have these big, bulky braces on one leg, and it doesn't seem to be affecting either one.
And you think this is going to lead to, I don't know about a national title, but better years ahead, should I say it that way?
Well, I think that it'll be a better year this year than it was last year, and I think it'll be a better year next year than it is this year. I don't know if Iowa's got enough to compete for a national title this year, but what they've added is some, you know, some excitement, and they've added more points into the lineup, which is a pretty important thing at this time of year or any time. And I think that they've sent a message to fans that, you know, not every great recruit is headed to Penn State. Lee and Kemmerer are from the same high school in Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And this Marinelli from Ohio. So that's an important message to say, okay, we recognize that we were getting beaten recruiting and that things kind of slid while Cale Sanderson had built this dynasty out east. But instead of, you know, accepting our fate and saying that we'll just try to be the best we can, we're going to try and do something about it, fight fire with fire. And I expect that come next Sunday when they host Oklahoma State, I think that they're going to be looking at a near-capacity crowd.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a great, great duel. And right now Penn State is doing to the rest of the wrestling world what Iowa did to the wrestling world. back right. in the day. And, you know, it's everybody's in that boat, and Iowa now kind of knows how it feels a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, Penn State's won 6 of the last 7 national titles. That's what you would call more than a trend. And Ohio State might have the best team in the country. Rutgers coach said that he's not sure he's seen a better wrestling team than Ohio State's this year. I don't know how long Rutgers coach has been looking at this stuff, but he had some pretty high praise for them. So the Big Ten's, you know, nothing ever changes. The Big Ten has got most of the great wrestling in the country within its conference walls. But the fact that I think you can look ahead and see possibilities for Iowa making waves in the national tournament, the Big Ten tournament, is kind of refreshing around here.
About the only team basketball team in the state worth watching these days is the Iowa women. I haven't seen Drake, and I'm not sure how much people in Eastern Iowa really care about Drake and how long their success in the Valley will last. But the Iowa women are really a good story again this year.
Very good. It's just, you know, I think we talked about this last week. It's just a crying shame that they've lost a couple of players to injuries. The point guard Davis, she's done for the year, and she was just a whirling dervish, just a terrific guard. So they're not deep. And that's just, I mean, all you can say is that sports, that's just unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard you talking earlier about Megan Gustafson, and you're right on the money on that, too. We were talking in the office this morning. Can you imagine if she'd played 6-on-6 high school ball in Iowa?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, you would have triple-teamed her, and she still would have scored 60 points a game. She just, there aren't very many post players in the Big Ten who can do anything with her, and yesterday she was scoring at will. So even if, I mean, Iowa may not have the depth to go deep into the NCAA tournament, but she's a player worth watching, and they play a fun, interesting style of basketball.
Yeah, they do.
And your summer travels, Mike, I really recommend you taking a trip to Port Wing. I've been there.
Well, funny you mention that. Jeff Linder on our staff said that he'd like to get up there sometime before her career at Iowa's over to write a story on her, and I said, pack a lunch, man. It's a long ways up there.
Yeah.
Well, Mark said there's only one bar he thinks he remembers in Port Wing, and I said, that's impossible.
Well, he would know.
There's got to be two.
We were camping on Lake Superior. All I remember is the Bears.
So that's the funny thing is I interviewed her dad a few weeks ago on the phone, and I asked him what the population was, and he wasn't sure. He asked me, you know, is that counting dogs and cats? You said he should count the Bears.
Mike Halas joining us at 3:46 here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. I am intrigued, not only because it's a national championship tonight, but because there's so many storylines to this. It's Kirby Smart, former defensive coordinator for Nick Saban, going up against his mentor. Nick Saban has owned his former assistants when they go head-to-head. You got the SEC factor. By the way, the president's going to be there. And other things going. But it's Alabama-Georgia tonight to wrap up the college football season.
Yeah, well, you know, I hear different reactions to that than what you just gave, Scott. I think that there are people around the country who are a little turned off by this.
If it wasn't two SEC teams, they would be fine with it. That's
yeah, exactly. This happened a few years ago when it was Alabama and LSU, I believe. And the rankings are always stupendous, but that game they were less than they usually are. I don't think people go for regional, but B, I think there's Alabama burnout and there's SEC burnout. And I also think that there's a distrust the two SEC teams should have been in that 4-team playoff. I don't think that Saban is a very engaging fellow. I don't know if anybody really, but serious college football fans can identify with these teams. I mean, name a player from Alabama, for instance. You might be able to. Maybe I can if I think hard enough.
Ross Pierschbacher.
Okay, besides the fact that there's an offensive lineman from Cedar Falls, which is still a little galling to many people around here. But
or Pierschbacher, whatever, which one.
By the way, Pierschbacher had a really good year. I think he was first-team All-SEC.
Yes, he was. He's going to be in the NFL next year.
Yeah, but, you know, variety is the spice of life, and I would have preferred to see Oklahoma, or I would have preferred to, I'm in the camp that says that, okay, I don't believe that UCF would have beaten any of these teams, but it beat Auburn, and Auburn beat both of the teams playing tonight. So how do we really know that?
It
would have been a much more fun thing to see.
But this isn't the first time this has gone down the pike here. Boise State had the exact same argument 6-7 years ago.
Right.
And everybody went through it back then.
Well, and no matter what, I mean, it's just a way of life. Things are always going to be tilted heavily in the power broker's favor. You know, when this playoff does get to 8 teams, and it'll happen at some point, it'll still be tilted toward the power team's favor.
You think Jared Utoff gets his next shot in the NBA? The guy had 29 Friday night.
It could be soon. There's something called the G League Showcase next weekend, and my understanding is it's like an all-star gathering. My understanding is that a lot of teams are going to be snapping up these top G League players before this.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. He's been a model of consistency, and I think he's shown that he can do some NBA things, and I would expect that it happens sooner rather than later. And I think the same for George Niang.
Right, and he's been doing very, very well in the G
League. Very well.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good players. Well, you know, and a lot of people are saying that, you know, Iowa doesn't have the Jared Utoff to circle back around to Iowa basketball. There's no Utoff this year. There's no White this year. There's no Jock this year.
And there's no Niang in Ames.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Iowa State's, they're going through this thing.
The thing about Utoff, he was a good defensive player. Tremendous shot blocker, obviously, but a sound defensive player. And you talked about Adam Woodbury, and Adam Woodbury changed other teams' offenses. And Devin Marble, if you want to go back further, was a really good defensive player. He didn't start out as one, but he became one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying that about any individual Hawkeye this year, and again, we're coming full circle to this discussion, but that's where we are.
Good idea for James Daniels to go to the NFL.
Yes, because somebody clearly has expressed to him, somebody, whose opinion matters has expressed to him that he'll be a high draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting. Iowa losing two players early to the National Football League draft.
This stuff happens a lot. I sort of was surprised when I read in our paper that this will make, I think, 9 Iowa players who've gone early since that's been an option. And that's quite a few. But there are a lot of players every year who do this. And if you're a good program, it's something that kind of should happen. The thing is, it seemed like every time I flipped over to a playoff game this weekend, some poor soul was down on the ground or was getting carted off or was getting taken into that blue tent. Micah Hyde was one of them.
Yep.
And it's just like, if these guys are going to play for pay, they might as well start as soon as possible because there are no guarantees it lasts very long.
No, that's a very good point. Very good point. Mike, I'll leave you with this. I think Pat Perez is your guy.
I think Dustin Johnson would suit me.
We got number one? I don't think you got number one, dude.
The dude is coming close to acing 425-yard holes.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's something not quite. I think that maybe that's how golf gets popular.
Yeah. And Tiger winning a couple of events might not hurt either.
Dan Jenkins said Hogan would have needed driver six iron.
Right. Right, yeah, well, he was using persimmon clubs
or something. Exactly.
What you got coming up this week, Mike?
Well, in tomorrow's paper, the three state schools, the men's basketball teams, are combined 0-12 in conference play, which defies all logic, and I kind of look at that.
Somebody's going to win Thursday, Iowa or Illinois.
Right, right. And I think Iowa will. And then Saturday, the next great Hawkeye, Wieskamp of Muscatine, yep, comes to Cedar Rapids. So yep, I'm going to go check that out.
Yep, we'll be over there broadcasting that game. He'll be here at the U.S. Cellular Center. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow on the program. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Follow him on Twitter at Halas. Mike, appreciate it, and we'll see you this weekend.
Say hello to me Saturday.
I will. Thanks.
Okay.
3:54. We'll take a break. Come back. Wrap her up after this.
For many businesses, hiring is tough. You want access to highly qualified candidates fast, and you don't want to sign a long-term contract or pay upfront fees. That's why you need Indeed.com, delivering 6 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Pop quiz. What's the most important part of a ship? Don't answer. It's the crow's nest. Know why? Complete visibility. I can see what's on the horizon and my crew pulling the ship together on the deck below. That's how I run this ship, and that's why we use Grainger. Grainger helps us keep a clear eye on our inventory, saving us time, saving us money, and helping keep everything ship shape. It's always smooth sailing with Grainger. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So, I was planning my resolutions. Lose 10 pounds. Again. Pluck my brows. Ouch! Stop stressing. Yeah, right. Then it occurred to me, what I really needed was a prettier financial picture. So, I joined DuPaco Community Credit Union and scheduled a money makeover. As a member at a cooperative like DuPaco, I'm also an owner. Every other member owner has my back, positioning me to improve my financial position at every turn. That's beautiful. DuPaco is more than local. They take a holistic approach to money. Once all my loans and checking were moved to DuPaco, they sleuth savings every possible way. Now I'm saving more, earning more, and shared branching and mobile deposit give me much better control of and access to my money. This new year, I'm getting fat-free, stress-free, and checking-free. I'm feeling pretty and pretty smart.
Join DuPaco Community Credit Union and get your financial life
resolved.
DuPaco Community Credit Union, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
When you join the YMCA as a family, you build more than just strength. Picture your kids swimming, playing basketball, and you working out. They have fun, you set a good example, and you all get healthier together. And that builds a stronger family. Join the Y anytime during January and pay no join fee. You'll meet new friends and make stronger connections in our community. Join one Y in the Cedar Rapids area and you join them all and save up to $75. Make 2018 a year of firsts. Visit crmetroymca.org for details. The Y, for more than a workout, for a better us.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you at 3:57 to wrap things up on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Coming up, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and they will be on from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. More Iowa basketball talk and more talk about tonight's national championship game. We have the poll question, speaking of that, at KGYMradio.com.
Yeah, vote for either team, Alabama or Georgia. And right now, trying to get the results.
Who's the public like?
Split.
Yeah.
Alabama, Georgia, divided.
I think it's going to be a great game tonight. I really, really do. And we'll have it for you coming up this evening right here on KGYM. Tomorrow, KJ Pilcher will join us. We'll talk high school wrestling. We'll talk a little bit about Spencer Lee and his debut last Friday. Tyler Cleveland's going to stop by and join us, talk about that shootout this Saturday at the U.S. Cellular Center, plus the following Saturday.
Yeah.
Boys basketball back at the U.S. Cellular Center. And I think that's a very, very good idea. We got a number of games coming your way this Saturday and the following Saturday that we'll have for you right here on KGYM, including Joe Wieskamp and Muscatine will be there on Saturday. Hopefully he'll be healthy. He missed the last game with Muscatine. All right, we'll talk tomorrow. I think it's going to be a good one tonight. Georgia might win it. We'll see.
I'll take Bama.
All right.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I